God's heart and intention is for male and female to be one and united. Breaks the heart of God when we are always at loggerheads, always bashing each other, always against each other, because his heart is for us to coexist in unity and in oneness. Welcome to Deeply Rooted with me, your host, Sina Zokos. This is a podcast where we discuss and delve deeper into the intimate conversations we all have with our Heavenly Father. Welcome to it, beloved. Thank you so much for joining us again. We are back. Last week we didn't have an episode. Apologies. I couldn't record. It was really hectic, but we're back now. And thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for the ones who've been here from the beginning. Thank you for the ones who are new. Welcome to the Deeply Rooted family. This is a family where we help each other grow in the faith, where we answer everyday questions through the lens of the Word of God, because what we aim to do here is to grow in our relationships with God, and it's also to understand God's opinion on everyday questions that we face in our everyday lives and on social media, wherever. Nothing is off limits. Nothing is too much to talk about when it comes to Deeply Rooted. So welcome once again. Welcome to the new ones. Thank you so much. We trust and believe that your lives will be transformed by listening to us, to the returning ones, to the old ones who've been here from the beginning. Guys, I love you so much. I appreciate you. We are growing immensely as a family. So thank you so much. None of this is in vain. So before we get into today's topic, can I say a short prayer and then we'll dive right in? So let's pray. God Almighty, Lord, God Almighty, Tengophilayo, Omnipotent, Undefeated God, Mkhulu wena Nkosi, akakho ngangawe, akakho njengawe. No one is close to you, O God. No one comes close to how great and mighty you are, Lord. No one is as good and as faithful and as trustworthy as you are, God. We thank you, God, for your grace. We thank you, God, for your mercies, which are new and fresh every morning. Thank you, Lord God, that you sent us Christ Jesus to die and to rise again for us, O God, so that through him we have life and life abundant, life eternal. Thank you, Lord God, that you gave us access to you, O God, access to have a relationship with you, access to your word, oh God, so that, Lord God, by your word we can live, oh God, we can be victorious, oh God, we can overcome, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are, for all that you've done for us, oh Lord. In Jesus' name we stand grateful before you this day, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. As we will dissect your word, oh Lord, I pray, Lord, that you be in our midst, oh Lord, for you say in your word, when two or more are gathered in your name, you are in their midst. May we see you in our midst, oh God, helping us dissect, oh Lord, your word, helping us understand your word, oh Lord. As I'm about to speak, Lord, I speak as a vessel, oh Lord. May I decrease as you increase, oh Lord. May your name be lifted. May your name be glorified, Lord God. In Jesus' name, may you give understanding, oh God, and may your plan and intention be achieved through this episode of us being one and us being united. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity. Be lifted and glorified at this time. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us again. So as I said in the intro, God's heart and God's intention is for both genders, male and female, to be one, to be united, you know. And the reason why I say this and the reason why I'm speaking upon this is because God revealed his heart to me during a time where I saw that there's a lot of conflict and strife, you know, between men and women or girls and boys, you know. And I used to see a lot of this on social media, where certain pages and platforms are designed particularly to speak down upon women, or certain platforms are designed to speak against men or speak in an ugly way against men for whatever reason. And sometimes the reasons are justifiable, you know, to say, okay, we are women and we stand against men for these reasons, or we are men, we stand against women for these reasons, right? And naturally, I gravitated towards the side that spoke for women and against men, because, I mean, hello, I'm a woman. And also probably because I've also kind of experienced misogyny to a certain extent, right? So I gravitated towards the women's side for the most part, until God revealed his heart to me that it actually breaks his heart, guys. It breaks his heart when he sees the division between men and women, you know. It breaks his heart when he sees one side hating the other or the other side hating the other, you know, because that's what the enemy wants. The enemy loves division, guys. The enemy loves when we fight. The enemy loves when there's anger, you know. The enemy loves this, and I'll prove it, you know, based on the word as we go on, you know, in the episode, you know. So the enemy loves it when we fight. The enemy loves it when this side speaks badly about the other side and this side speaks badly about the other side, because he doesn't want unity, because he knows that when we're united, we are honoring God and we are literally doing what the heart of God wants, right? So the Holy Spirit showed me, you know, how much in grief he is. Because, I mean, there's a part in the Bible that says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit has feelings, guys. You know, God has feelings. You know, when he sees us do certain things, he's displeased, you know, and he makes it known to his children, you know. So God revealed this to me to say, it hurts his heart, because his intention from the beginning, from creation, he's always wanted us to be one. He's always created us to coexist. You know, for example, the first scripture I'll turn to just to put everything into perspective is the book of Genesis chapter 1:27, which says, so God created mankind in his own image. The image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So basically, he created both of us, you know, both of these species, the male species, the female species. So he created both of us to exist as one. You know, no one should be above the other. No one should be shamed against the other. That was not part of his plan, guys. And another scripture that I'd just like to add in addition to that is in the book of James. Not the book of James, actually, guys. Forgive me. The book of John, chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, right? So this is Jesus, and Jesus is praying. He's praying for all believers. And hear this, right? He says, my prayer is for them. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you in me and me in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me, right? I just want to read that again, guys. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So basically what God is saying here, what Jesus is saying here is, he wants us to be one, us believers in Christ. He wants us to be united, right? And that basically shows his heart. God loves when we are united as male and female, as believers, as the church. He loves when we are united. He loves when we are speaking in one voice. He loves when we treat each other in a way that honors and glorifies him according to the word, you know. So he created us male and female. He created us with intention, right? He created us to coexist. You know, there's also a part in the book of Genesis that says it's not good for men to be alone. So God will find him a suitable helper, which is the woman, right? So basically, he created us to coexist like that. He didn't create us to be at loggerheads. He didn't create us to be living in isolation from each other, where one side is a rival of another side, you know. So God's heart is literally unity. That's just the overarching message of today's topic, you know. And when it comes to issues that we raise against each other, you know, for example, as I said in the intro, guys, that sometimes the reasons are justifiable as to why men speak against women or women speak against men. Sometimes the reasons are justifiable, and God actually has answers for those reasons, you know. But the main answer for us all, so that is men and women, the main answer that God has for the both of us is for us to actually be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, you know. Because if we are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, we will treat each other in a way that honors God, you know. For example, there's a scripture in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 to 14, which talks about being sealed with the Holy Spirit, you know, after believing. And Jesus literally speaks, you know, in the book of John chapter 3 verse 5, of being born of the water and spirit. Even in the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 38, it mentions, you know, being baptized and receiving the Holy Spirit, you know. And if you are someone who studied the word, you know the characteristics of having the Holy Spirit in you. It shows in the fruits that you bear, which are mentioned in the book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 to 23. So it's love, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, all of that, you know. So it shows that the Holy Spirit is living inside of you when you show those fruits in how you treat people, in how you view the other gender, in how you know, perceive and speak about the other gender, and how you treat the other gender, you know. So in those issues that we raise against each other. God's intention is for us to be saved. It's for everyone to be saved, right? We are already saved. We are in the body of Christ. God had mercy on us and gave us salvation, and we received it. We received Christ as our Lord and Savior. And after doing so, He literally gave us the Holy Spirit. You know, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's what the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse says. You know, it says when we believe and receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are given the Holy Spirit, which serves as a seal. You know, and in order for that Holy Spirit to be manifested and to show that indeed we have been given Him, we ought to stay in God. We ought to seek God, you know, through prayer, consistent prayer, study of the word, fasting. That's how it shows that, okay, we have the Holy Spirit, you know. So that's God's intention that, okay, all of these issues, guys, I'm going to break them down, just a few of them. I mean, not all of them, because there's so many things that we raise up against each other. But all of them can be solved with one thing. In the world, guys, the world can be sorted by people just giving their lives to Christ. You know, that's an opinion that I'll forever hold, that majority of the problems, in fact, all of the problems we have in the world can be solved just by receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior and being sealed with the Holy Spirit and seeking God so that the Holy Spirit who's inside of us manifests Himself in the decisions we make, in the treatment we give to other people, in the way we speak, in the way we think, you know, in our hearts, and the way our hearts are wired, you know. So it's extremely important for us to take note of that, you know, that more than anything, over and above everything, God wants us to be one with Him, to have Him as our Lord and Savior, to have the Holy Spirit inside of us, so that what flows from the inside to each other as men and women is basically what the Holy Spirit has done inside of us, you know. So, for example, I just want to show you guys a scripture that speaks directly to what I just said. For example, the book of Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 to 27 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws, right? So basically what God is saying here, He's showing basically what He does when you give your life to Him, right? The fact that He works in your heart, because guys, our hearts are wired in different ways based on how we were raised. You know, if you are raised in a home that speaks badly about men or women, that's basically what's likely going to shape you as a person, even when you're grown, even when you're on social media, like wherever. You know, you may have a heart that is full of opinions based on where you come from, on the environment that raised you, right? But when you come to Christ and you surrender your heart to Him, you surrender your opinions to Him, He transforms you in a way that He says in this verse that I just read in the book of Ezekiel chapter 36, right? That He takes away the heart of flesh, the hardened heart, the heart that has opinions that don't please God, that has harmful opinions towards women, that has harmful opinions towards men. God transforms that heart and gives you a heart of flesh, and He puts His spirit in you, and He will move you to follow His decrees and be careful to keep His laws. So you will be the way He intended us to be, you know, towards each other as men and women. That's what God will do, basically. And that's what He wants, you know, from us. And that's what He wants to perform in us over and above everything. You know, so that's incredibly important. And also there's a very popular scripture I like in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. It basically speaks about how we become a new creation when we give our lives to Christ, right? And in order for that new creation to be manifested and for the work that God is doing inside of us to show on the outside, we need to be people that seek God. We need to be people that stay in our place of prayer. We need to study the word. We need to, you know, literally seek God every day of our lives, pray, study the word, fast. We need to do all of those things, and then it will show that indeed there's the Holy Spirit inside of us, and He's working inside of us, and He's taking away the hardened hearts, and He's replacing them with hearts of flesh, you know, hearts that glorify Him, new opinions, new intentions, new outlooks on the different genders, you know. So basically that's what God wants, and He wants our opinions, He wants our treatment, He wants our words and what we write down on social media to reflect Him and to glorify Him, you know. And part of the reasons why, and as I said, guys, I'm going to mention just a few reasons we talk bad, or let me rephrase, actually. I'm going to mention few reasons, or one reason each, right? Why women often speak against men and why men often speak against women, right? And I'll just use the word to put these into perspective and what God has to say about that. For example, with women, the main reason why they speak against men is because of issues like violence, gender-based violence, you know, misogyny. And the reason why there is gender-based violence and misogyny goes back to what I was saying a few moments ago. There's a lack of transformation in the hearts of men, right? Men who carry out acts of violence, men who speak hatefully against women on whatever grounds, those people are not transformed, guys. They are not transformed. The Holy Spirit isn't inside of them, because it literally shows that their opinions or the opinions that they hold don't represent God, don't represent Christ, you know. So, for example, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 31 to 32, it says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." You know, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you, right? So verse 31 shows basically that all of these things, and I like that also in the book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 21, it speaks of all the actions of the flesh, basically all the fruits that the flesh produces, and it speaks of wrath, it speaks of anger, it speaks of malice, it speaks of all this negativity. So it's directly in line with the verse that I read right now, which is Ephesians chapter 4 verse 31, right, and 32. So 31 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice," right? So this basically says, if you're someone who's violent, if you're someone who is angry, if you're someone who resorts to beating up people or speaking evil of people for whatever reason, it means the Holy Spirit has not worked inside of you, because the Word of God wouldn't tell us to put away these kind of behaviors if it wasn't a result of His work inside of us. You know, you get what I'm saying, right? So if you're someone who carries out these things, you know, the violence, the evil speaking against each other, it's because there hasn't been a transformation inside of you, and you are acting from a place of your fleshly nature, which does not glorify God, right? So that's why I say gender-based violence, when it comes to, you know, the main or one of the main things that women, you know, speak about when it comes to men, gender-based violence is a result, or it's a fruit of not being transformed. A man who's transformed, a man who's in God, a man who's received Christ as their Lord and Savior and is living for Christ and is seeking God, it will show that the Holy Spirit is inside of that person. Because, for example, guys, I keep going back to the scripture. It's the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. It defines the fruit of the Spirit, right? And it says it's love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? So anyone who's in Christ, anyone who's growing in their relationship with Christ and seeking God consistently and has the Holy Spirit inside of them will show those kind of fruits. And any fruit that goes against that or is the opposite of that shows that that person is not transformed, right? And God literally has a say on that. God is literally not here condoning, you know, people being violent to their partners, to children, or whatever acts, no matter what the person has done. You get what I'm saying? No matter what the person has done to betray you. But if you act in a way that is violent towards the person, God has no place in that. God has no part in that. It's all on you, and it's a reflection of your heart and the fact that your heart has not been transformed, right? So that's what God has to say about it. And for example, there's a scripture I love. It's in the book of Isaiah chapter 1 verse 17, where God says we should seek justice for the oppressed. You know, we should seek justice for the oppressed. We should be people that want justice. So people who are not transformed, people who keep on carrying out these acts of violence, you know, against women and children, God wants us to do something about that. God doesn't want us to fold our arms or be unempathetic. God literally wants us to look out for the oppressed. And if the oppressed is women, for the most part, now I'm speaking about statistics-wise, you know, when it comes to South Africa, I'm making an example as to why women often speak against men, you know. If the women are the people who are being oppressed, and they keep on crying about it. And there's always headlines of women being oppressed, you know, all over the world. In South Africa, and statistics show that women remain vulnerable, and we're scared to walk at night because you know that, you know, you could be sexually assaulted, you could experience all of these things. God wants us to take a stand against those issues. God wants us to seek justice. God wants us to speak as Christians. There's an episode that I had last year, you know, that spoke about God's opinion when it comes to, you know, violence and gender-based violence and things like that. And what I highlighted is basically what I'm saying, that God doesn't want us to be quiet. God wants us to take a stand. God wants us to be like, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And in so doing, we don't have to... How do I put this? I want to put this in a way that makes sense, right? We shouldn't be quiet about behaviors of men against women. We shouldn't be quiet. We should, you know, we should condemn them. We should speak up for the oppressed. We should report them. We should do all of those things, right? But we should guard our hearts as well, because in doing that, we could be doing something. We could be influenced, rather. Let me say, we could be influenced to doing something that is against the heart of God. Because as I said at the beginning, guys, the heart of God is unity. God wants us to love each other. God wants us to, you know, be literally on each other's side. Okay, let me not say on each other's side, but God wants us to be in unity. God wants us to be one. You know, Jesus literally prayed this prayer that he wants us to be one, right? So in so doing, in speaking up for the oppressed, in speaking, seeking justice, we should pray that God helps us to guard our hearts, that we don't fall on the side of the enemy now, where we are against each other, where we are hating on each other. I mean, the act of gender-based violence is an act of hate itself. And anyone who carries out that act is someone that needs to come to Christ to be transformed. And should they not be willing to be transformed, even if they are saved, guys, because there are people who are saved who carry out these acts, right? And whoever's saved and has a relationship with Christ but still does these things, that person is not transformed, guys. Maybe they're just saved for the sake of it, or maybe they have the name of being saved, or maybe they're not allowing God to work inside of them. They're not seeking God, right? Even such people, guys, we are given a mandate in the Bible to speak out and to speak up against, you know, those kind of violence, and to seek justice, guys, you know. And justice within the parameters of what we are given in our land, in our constitution, in South Africa. There's no such thing as, no, this is a family matter, this is a matter, you know, that should be spoken about in the church. Guys, if the Bible says seek justice for the oppressed, it means do exactly that within the parameters of what is available, because God loves justice. God loves seeing people pay for what they've done. You know, yes, you will repent. Yes, you will apologize. But God literally wants justice for the person who has been hurt, because God loves when the person who's been hurt is comforted at the fact that, you know what, your perpetrator didn't just get away with it, you know. So that's basically God's opinion, that gender-based violence is a result of someone who's not, you know, transformed, and that person needs to come to Christ to be transformed. But God is also a lover of justice, and God doesn't want us being quiet. But in us not being quiet and being vocal, we need to be cautious, and we need to pray that the Holy Spirit keeps our heart, you know, guarded, so that we don't speak in a way, or we don't get transformed to a way that is not in line with God's heart, which is unity amongst each other. You know, hope that makes sense, guys. I believe it does. And now over to the men, guys. One of the reasons that I see men speaking against women is, you know, there's a system in this world. I believe it's patriarchy, if there's a way, if that's the right word, guys. You can correct me. I don't mind correction. I actually receive it. I receive it quite well, by the way, you know. So I think there's a system in the world that called patriarchy, right? If that's the right phrase, guys. Forgive me if I'm not using the correct phrase. But in a nutshell, if I could just simplify it, it's to say that it's the man who's supposed to be working and earning money and providing for his family and having a certain status in society. And failure to do so, it means that man is really not worth being looked at as man enough. And men often speak against women to say, women have put men on a very high standard, and if they're failing to meet that standard, then women speak against men who are broke or men who are not meeting up societal standards. And it's a whole conversation, guys, to say patriarchy was created by men, because if you go down the history books as to, you know, historically women were not allowed to work and. But I won't get into that right now. That's a whole topic on its own, guys, right? But what I just want to narrow this down to is to say a lot of women, I've come across a lot of women that speak against men who are broke or that speak ill or ill-treat men who are broke. And men often speak against women who do that. And they speak in an ugly way against women who do this and, right? So again, I'm going to say the same thing I said about gender-based violence. A woman who speaks in an ugly way against a man who's broke, that's a woman who's not transformed. That's a woman who's not transformed. Because let me, before I go further, guys, I just want to read this scripture very quickly. It's in the book of James, and I just want to make sure, give me a second, guys. But it's in the book of James. Yes, there it is. Book of James, chapter 2, from verse 1 to 4, right? This verse basically condemns showing favoritism, arguing that treating the rich better than the poor is inconsistent with faith in Jesus Christ, right? So I just want to read it quickly. It says, my brothers and sisters, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism, right? And then it goes on to explain why and basically give a scenario, right? And it's basically about status, like wealth, you know, wealthy men versus poor men, right? So if a man is poor and a man is doesn't have money or doesn't have wealth or whatever the case may be, you speaking against that man or being ugly to that man or whatever reason, speaking ugly, like speaking in an ugly way against that man on social media or even in person, you know, treating that man like he's less of a human being, that is really not godly. And it shows that in you as a woman, there's no transformation, you know, because if you're in Christ, guys, and you have the Holy Spirit, who is a seal for all believers, the Holy Spirit is going to work inside of you to get rid, as I read, guys, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 26, that God works inside of our hearts and takes away the hearts of stone and replaces it with a new heart and his spirit inside of us, you know, to be obedient to him, right? So he literally works in us, male and female. He works in us as women and literally transforms even our way of thinking, even our way of treating men. You know, for example, if a man is struggling and a man is, you know, struggling to make ends meet and he's poor, and because society and patriarchy says a man needs to have this, needs to own this, if he doesn't have this, then he's a useless man. If you subscribe to those kind of notions, then it means you are literally not transformed. You know, it means that the Holy Spirit hasn't worked in you. You are not surrendered to the Holy Spirit. You haven't, you know, given the Holy Spirit room to work inside of you and to transform you. You know, you are not seeking God. You are not in prayer. You are not fasting. You're not studying the word. And it shows in your opinions. It shows in your views and how you treat men and how you speak of men, you know, who are not rich or who are not wealthy or who are finding it hard to make ends meet. And guys, hear me out. This is not to condone anyone who's lazy, because the Bible speaks very strictly about lazy people. You know, there's a verse in the book of Thessalonians which speaks about people who are lazy and says that anyone who's lazy must not eat, because God is literally not a fan of lazy people. And in the book of 1 Timothy, I think it's chapter 5, verse 8, it speaks of men having to take care of their families, men having to be providers, you know. So this is not to say, okay, men, you can just lie back and not do anything about it and you can be lazy and the Bible excuses you for that. No, absolutely not, because you are also being disobedient if you're just lazy, right? But this is not a conversation of laziness or working or whatever, but it's a conversation of you not being to a certain standard that society holds you to, right? Or you're trying, but then your trying is not bearing fruits yet. Or maybe it's because of the economy and you're job hunting and it's hard to find a job, right? And then a certain sister, because you are struggling to find a job, you're trying, but you're struggling to find a job, or you do have a job, but it's not to a certain standard, you know, because of whatever reason, but you are working and you're working towards actually working harder and not being stuck where you are, right? And then a particular sister sees that, but still speaks against you and still speaks in an ugly way against you, speaks in an ugly way against broke men and all of that, that is literally
a sign that that lady is not transformed by God, because God doesn't want us speaking against each other. God doesn't want the gender-based violence. He hates it. It hurts his heart. God doesn't want us speaking against broke men or men in any way. You know, it hurts him. You know, it hurts him. And this is not the same as speaking up and being vocal against gender-based violence. This is not the same as being vocal and speaking against men who are lazy, you know, but it's about your heart posture. It's about whether you're a person that shows favoritism. You know, it's literally not about you doing the right thing or standing up or calling people out, but it's about your heart posture. Where is your heart? Does your heart have a hatred for people who are broke? Does your heart always want to speak against broke brothers in the church? You know, not showing empathy as to maybe why are they broke? Are they actually working? Are they trying to make ends meet, but it's hard, you know? And as I said, that's a whole different conversation from, you know, a man who's just outright lazy and doesn't want to do anything. And that man is in disobedience, by the way, according to the word, you know. So it's extremely important for us to check our heart postures, guys, when it comes to these things, even our opinions. You know, when it comes to, for example, what I mentioned, gender-based violence, you know, when it comes to that, you might not be beating up a woman. You might not be, you know, carrying out these acts towards a woman, right? But your heart actually condones those acts sometimes. Maybe let's say a woman cheated or whatever, and the husband kills the woman, and then you say, no, it serves her right. No, you're not supposed to speak like that. Your tone as a man of God should be repentance, that woman needs to repent and actually go into eternal life with God after they've repented, because now she's going around hurting men. Your opinion shouldn't be, no, she deserves to be killed and stuff. That shows a lack of transformation down deep on the inside of you. Same as women, you know, if you see a man who's not up to the standard that society holds men to, right? And your first response is, oh no, I don't like broke men. Broke men bore me. I can never be with a broke man. And that shows that your heart is not transformed, because your posture, your heart posture is not considering everything around that. It's not considering whether this person is broke because the economy is hard, because this person, maybe their background didn't allow them to study in a certain way, or maybe they did study, but they're not getting a job, or maybe they are working, but they're not working jobs that earn the money, you know, a lot of money that would put them in that certain status that society calls men to be. And anyway, you as a woman of God shouldn't prescribe to opinions of the world as to what to look for in a man. Look at the word, look at the man's posture, you know, look at what God says a man must be like in order for him to qualify to be your husband, or even just a brother in Christ, you know, because anyone who's in Christ shouldn't be lazy. Anyone who's in Christ must know that they ought to be people that take care of their families and provide for their families and all of that, you know. So it's very important, guys, to look at our heart postures. The Bible says, guard your heart, guard everything that comes into your heart, even when it comes to the misogyny that men usually spew around when it comes to women. You know, all these worldly standards of, you know, if she has a child, she's ran through, or if she has a body count, she's ran through. Those are standards of the world, guys. And maybe they are true according to the world. But in the word of God, anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. Anyone who's in Christ has an identity of Christ. You know, they're a royal priesthood. You know, God made them fearfully and wonderfully, you know. And literally, it literally says that anyone who has repented, God will not cast away. God will transform that person, you know. So if you're going to come with worldly standards into your mind, into the kingdom of God, then unfortunately, awuzolunga, that's what we say now in my language, that awuzolunga, you will literally not be able to please God. You will not be able to, because your opinions are based on the world and on worldly standards, you know. And basically, that's just what I wanted to outline to you guys, that more than anything, it's a heart thing. And over and above everything, guys, God doesn't want us to be against each other. God wants us to love each other. And when our hearts are transformed in the right way, we are able to love each other in the way that God wants us to. We are able to speak well about each other. We are able to put to death and put away all these behaviors that don't please God, you know. And also, guys, another thing that I want to outline, because some people, this is where people get it confused, right? The Bible says men and women are equal. By the way, let me just put that out there, guys. And I will read a scripture to literally just put this into context, right? In the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, it says, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So all of us are equal, guys. We are equal in value. We are equal in how God sees us, in how God values us, in our importance to God. We are literally equal. If you're in Christ and you're a man and you're a woman, you guys are equal. But the difference is the roles that you guys have, right? The men have a role to be like Christ over the church, you know, because the book of Ephesians says, men, love your wives as Christ loved the church, right? Men are to love us. Men are to lead us, because God literally wants us to have different roles, right? And women are supposed to be nurturers. Women are supposed to, you know, submit under the authority of the husband. And I'll expound on this, guys, before you bite my head off. Hear me out. Those are the different roles. And why do we have those different roles? Because God is a God of order. You know, guys, we see this in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, for example. You know, but I want you to understand. Sorry, guys. No, that's not the right scripture. It's the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Yes, it reads as follows. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints, right? He's not the author of confusion, right? He's not the author of chaos, but he's an author of peace. Hence, he said, okay, I want men to have this role and I want women to have this role, right? We are all equal in value. No one is more important than the other. No one is more superior than the other. The person who's superior in this equation is Christ Jesus, right? A man is not superior. A woman is not superior, right? Christ is superior over the both of us. But we have different roles, because God doesn't want a situation where there's a confusion in this union. You know, there's a confusion where a man doesn't know what he has to do, where a woman doesn't know what she has to do, or the roles are reversed sometimes, and therefore the union just doesn't have a direction and it doesn't honor God, right? So God wants it to look like the Godhead, basically, you know, where Christ is the head and the head of the man, and then the man is the head of the woman, right? And hear me, guys, when the man is the head of the woman and the man is in Christ and he's transformed, he won't misuse his role. Because a lot of the time and in a lot of situations, I've seen that a lot of men actually, you know, misuse their value. Oh, not their value. They misuse their role, right? They are told to be leaders. They are told to take care of their families, but they misuse that role and they use it to be narcissistic, to be controlling. And that is literally not in line with who the Holy Spirit is. Because if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, your character will be in line with his character. Guys, remember in the book of Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, you know, God says, I stand on the door and knock. Whoever will open up for me, I will literally come in and dine with them. You know, God is not a God who forces himself on anyone, guys. God does not force himself on anyone. He doesn't say, I want to control you, I want this, I want that. God wants us to exercise our free will to choose him and to let him in our hearts, you know. So any man who uses his role as a leader to abuse and to misuse it and to be controlling and manipulative, those things are not in line with the Holy Spirit, guys. They are not in line with the Holy Spirit. And any man who uses the Bible to control you and be ugly to you and to beat you up and to speak in a way that's ugly to you, those things are not in line with the Holy Spirit. Because remember, guys, as I said, I'll go back to this scripture again, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, guys. So a man who is in Christ, who leads from a place of being transformed by Christ, will show these traits. He will have self-control. He will be gentle. He will be faithful. He will be kind. He will show joy. He will show peace. He won't show everything that, you know, that's controlling: malice, anger, wrath. Remember, I read a scripture in the book of Ephesians that said we should put these away. You know, put away all of these things. You know, put away anger, put away malice, put away all this negativity, because it does not represent me as God. It shows whatever opinion you got from home, whatever opinion you were raised with, whatever opinion that is worldly, but it does not represent me as God, right? So we have different roles, and our role as women, which is to be submissive, to be helpers, that role is not to say you're a slave. That role is not to say you must diminish yourself, because there's many parts in scripture that show that we should shine our light. You know, we should not shrink ourselves and be in a little corner, in a little dark corner, and let our voices be shrunk. No, that is not godly. You know, because the word of God says, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is upon you. When the glory of the Lord is upon you, it shows in literally how you speak. You don't diminish yourself because you've got bright ideas, you know, to share in this household, to share in this union, to share in your workplace, to show at school, to shine at school. Even when you get married someday, you are supposed to speak up and be vocal, because God's light is upon you, right? If you are going to be a mother, if you are going to be a wife, you should speak. And a man who knows the word of God will encourage you to say, my wife, I want your views here. I want you to be heard. I want you to speak whenever something doesn't sit right with you. I want you to speak, because this relationship is supposed to show our relationships with God. And when something is hard in my life, or when something doesn't make sense, I talk to God. I literally say, God, this doesn't sit well with me. This and this and this doesn't sit well with me. So there's no version in the Bible that says that women must shrink themselves, women must, you know, not, you know, be expressive and all of that. Those things are worldly, guys. We need to know the word for what it is. You know, the book of Psalm 139, for example, speaks of how God created our inmost being, and he made us beautifully and fearfully. So what is inward inside of us as women, you know, our views, our expressions, our creativity, our ideas, God doesn't want those locked up. God wants those expressed fully with confidence and not diminishing ourselves, you know. And a man who is in Christ, a man who's in God, will literally allow that, because he knows what the word of God says for the both of us, men and women. He will know that he's not superior. He will know that we are equal in value before God, you know. So that is a very important distinction to make, guys, because a lot of people misuse their roles. A lot of people have suffered at the hands of people who have used the scriptures incorrectly to fulfill their selfish desires, which are not godly at all. And that is, you know, very, very unfortunate. You know, it's extremely unfortunate. And it's shown sometimes in the word, guys, in how people did things back in the day, because there was a time in many societies, even in the society of the Bible, where women were treated in a very ugly way, you know, in a very diminishing way, in a very abusive way. And for example, there's something that was posted a couple of weeks ago where it was a scripture that was speaking about rape in the book of Deuteronomy, which says that if a man rapes a woman, then that man should pay 50 shekels to the father and marry that woman that he raped. And I had so many questions about this and the context and everything, and the Holy Spirit sat me down to explain the kind of society people were living in at the time. People were living in a very patriarchal and harmful and abusive society at the time. So God had to raise up people to try and protect women, for example. In this context where it speaks about the rape situation, God was basically saying to prophets that, okay, they should write that a woman who has been abused in that way must be married by the person who abused them. And that was, in a way, protecting the women, because in those times, women were conditioned to see marriage as an achievement, right? And when they've been sexually abused, for example, that literally, in that society, again, women and men would view that woman as unclean. And these are ideas that people come up with, guys. You know, people come up with these notions that if a person has been violated, they're not clean and stuff. You know, it's very painful, you know, notions to have. And people, especially back in the olden days, people upheld those notions. So now, prophet like Moses, who wrote this verse, was basically saying, you are not just going to leave a woman out in the cold like that after you violated her. You're going to bring her in, you're going to make her a wife. And after making her a wife, you're literally going to treat her well as the husband, because there are consequences for a man who mistreats, you know, his women. There's even a part in scripture that says, God doesn't hear the prayers of a man who mistreats his wife, you know, which shows basically God's heart, and it shows what God expects of a husband to a wife, you know. So that was God's way of basically trying to protect women in that society. And the women, I suppose, received this and accepted it, that, you know what, I'm not going to be left in the cold and out in the open for no one to marry me, because people in those days in that society had that kind of notion that, okay, a woman must be clean, a woman must be this, she must be a virgin, she mustn't be violated. And if she is all of that, then she's not going to get a chance at marriage. And marriage at that time was literally the only way that women could live, because women, remember, in those days were not allowed, you know, to work and to make their own money, you know. So basically, Moses was saying, guy, if you do this, you're going to pay for it. And not only are you going to pay for it, but you'll take this woman as your wife and you will treat her right. So it was a form of security for women, you know. So those kind of things literally are very important, guys, to understand the context around how certain things were written in the Bible, certain things are not prescriptive, but they're descriptive. And basically something that's descriptive is something that's describing how people thought during those days, why certain things were written during those days, you know, and to show the heart of God. And one thing I've realized about the Bible, guys, is that the heart of God is consistent. The heart of God does not change, guys, you know. The heart of God literally does not change from the beginning until the end. You know, God has always been a God who doesn't want these kind of notions, these worldly notions of, you know, diminishing people and looking down upon people. So literally, you know, for example, another example that I like to bring up when I talk about this is the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Guys, we know this, you know, that woman was literally caught in the act of adultery. And back then, the punishment for adultery was basically to be stoned. And while the Pharisees and the scribes wanted the woman to be stoned, God was like, no. Jesus was like, no, this lady, anyone who doesn't have sin must cast in the first stone. And then he was like, if no one condemns you, because people were not able to cast in the first stone because literally they knew that they had their own sins. And then Jesus was like, no, because no one has cast a stone, I also don't cast a stone. I don't condemn you. Now go and sin no more, right? And men in that time wanted the woman to be killed. And literally, that was during the time of Jesus, but even long before that, guys, there's a story of the daughters of Zelophehad, if that's how we pronounce the name. But I think it's in the book of Numbers. Let me just make sure, guys. I think it is in the book of Numbers, where these daughters were basically, they wanted to change the narrative, because at that time, only boy children were basically allowed to get their father's inheritance, right? Only sons were basically allowed to get their father's inheritance when he died. But then these women advocated, you know, they went to the king, and literally God answered through that king to say, no, these girls actually deserve their father's inheritance because they don't have a brother. So then who's going to get the inheritance? Cousins? No, it's not fair. So these women actually need to get their father's inheritance. And that's basically what happened. From that time, God changed that narrative, you know. So basically what I'm trying to show here, guys, is that God's heart has been consistent from the beginning. His heart for women, his heart for men, you know. God has literally been a girl dad. God has literally been a boy dad. God has literally been a God who wants us to be one, who wants us to be united, you know. And yeah, guys, that's basically what I have for you guys today. And that's basically what I want to show you guys, that these things are not the heart of God. The hatred, the bickering at each other, it's not the heart of God, especially for us who are in Christ. You know, you should pay very close attention to someone's opinions about things, you know, how they speak about women, how they speak about men, because that is a reflection of whether or not they're transformed. You know, the book of Matthew chapter 12 verse 34 says, you will know them by their fruits. Everyone, you will know whether they belong to Christ or whether they belong to God by the fruits that they bear. You know, so literally, guys, you need to be very careful of the people that you allow yourself to mix with and the people that call themselves Christians. It all goes down to how they treat people, right? It all goes down to how they treat people. So be extremely careful, guys. Be extremely careful. You will know them by their fruits, guys. That's what Jesus said. It's a very clear blueprint. And the fruits that someone bears literally shows, you know. In fact, guys, the scripture that I was speaking of is Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. Apologies for that, right? It says, you will know them by their fruits. Basically, it's speaking about anyone, guys, who says they're a child of God or they speak in the name of God. If they don't align with scripture and with the Holy Spirit, then that person is not of God. How they speak about women, how they speak about men, if it's negative, if it doesn't align with the word, then you know, that person is not of God, or that person is not transformed. They're just saved by name, and there's literally no fruits that show that the Holy Spirit is inside of them. You know, so over and above everything, guys, pray that the Holy Spirit works inside of you, and the Holy Spirit transforms you. Because sometimes these opinions are birthed from a place of pain. You're mad at what certain men did to you. You're mad at what certain women did to you. And now it has polluted your heart and your posture towards the other gender. And pray to God, bring those scars before God, because God is not going to tolerate those kind of opinions, guys, that you have against men or that you have against women. God is not going to tolerate that. God wants us to be transformed and to be transformed into His image, to reflect the Holy Spirit that we claim is inside of us, you know. So bring yourself to God so that God transforms you, so that God heals you. And whatever hindrance is causing you to not be healed and not be transformed, God wants to work on that, you know. Literally, God wants to literally work on those parts of you, you know. So seek Him, pray, fast, study the Word, communicate with Him honestly. And the Bible says we don't have a high priest who's not able to sympathize with us, you know. So God is literally a high priest. Jesus is literally a high priest who sympathizes with us and knows that, okay, I know where you're coming from with that. I know where you're coming from with that. But because I want to transform you into my image, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work in that part. I'm going to work in that scar. I'm going to work on that opinion. And you need to allow Him. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform you. Sometimes it's not easy, guys, abandoning your own opinions as a human being so that you are like the Holy Spirit and you are like God. But it is worth it because it shows that you are from Him. You know, it shows that you represent Him. And I will say this over and over again, guys, the problems in this world would be sorted out if we would just be loving towards each other as men and women. If we would come to God and allow God to transform us, you know. So I'm praying for you guys. I'm praying for myself, because sometimes I also show traits of being not transformed. But I'm praying for myself. I'm praying for you guys. I'm praying for us all. I'm praying for the world that we come to God and we receive the Holy Spirit and we seek Him so that it shows that indeed He has worked inside of us, you know. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And guys, if you have any questions, I don't mind. If you have any concerns, I don't mind hearing them, because I know this is one of the really touchy subjects for some of us. And I really pray that God works on those parts of us that really just feel like, you know, these are really, they touch that part of you, you know, that needs God's hand. So I'm praying for each and every one of us. I pray that God literally transforms us. I pray that we become one and we become united, because that's the prayer that Jesus made as well. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Whew, guys, don't forget to subscribe to Ayono, to Spotify, to Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts from. And yeah, guys, please keep putting the word out there. Deeply Rooted is a podcast. It's making the waves. It's literally helping people grow in their relationships with God. So literally, stay in God, trust in God. And yeah, guys, there's many other podcasts to look out for under the Sowetan. There's the SL Cabinet, there's Taking Rams by the Horns. So please do check those out as well. Until next time, you are loved, you are treasured, you're precious in the Heavenly Father's sight. God bless.